people really want to hear. I'll tell you why on this edition of Key Life.
You're listening to Key Life, a program that isn't designed for nice Christians doing nice things for God and helping you to be nicer. This is Bible teaching for real living. Here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. Hope your weekend was great. Hope your pastor's sermon was as good as my pastor's sermon. That makes some people angry when I say that, but I don't know how to say it. I mean, it's sort of like saying my pastor is better than your pastor, but I don't mean it that way. But I love to hear my pastor preach. He is a man of God and faithful to God's word, and he feeds me from that. And so I hope your pastor did that too, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Jonah as we continue with our Old Testament survey, and we're up to the book of Jonah. I think I may finish this week, or certainly early next week, and then we move on to Micah. And at least in the first chapters of Micah, it's not evening devotions time. I mean, this is one angry prophet, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. If you have your Bible, open it to the second chapter of Jonah as we continue with the survey of the books of the Old Testament. Before we turn to that, it's our practice on Monday to go before the throne. Let's do that. Father, we thank you and we praise you because you've been so good, overwhelmingly good to us. When we see what we've deserved and we see what we've got, we don't understand. We should be condemned. We should be rejected. We should have been destroyed. But in your grace and your kindness, you reached out to us and you redeemed us and you told us you'd never be angry. And we are so thankful. But Father, if you hadn't done that, you're still God and we worship you. We worship you because you're worthy of our worship, the worship of all your creation and all your creatures. You are wonderful and perfect and precious and omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient and eternal and infinite and immutable and holy and righteous and awesome and sovereign and self-sufficient and good and kind and wise and patient and faithful and gentle and generous and compassionate and forgiving and gracious and merciful and loving. You're God and you're worthy of our worship. Father, you know everybody who's listening to this broadcast. You know those who are going through really tough times right now. Father, teach them to turn to you and to trust that you know what you're doing and to wait for your salvation. And then, Father, as we study your word on Key Life, we pray for the one who teaches that you would forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I did this last week, but let me take the time. And by the way, Jonah's a very small book. It only has four chapters. You can read it in one sitting, and you can mine from this book great diamonds for your own living. Let me read those first 10 verses of the second chapter of Jonah, and then we'll start talking about some of these. We've already done the introductory material to Jonah. And the book of Jonah starts at the third chapter, the second chapter, the first 10 verses. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol, and that means the dead place. I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me, and your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters encompassed me, even to my soul, the deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever, yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah on dry ground. I think I mentioned this last week, but isn't it interesting? When it gets bad enough, we turn to God. If we turn to God, I mean, Jonah is probably the most spiritual person you read about in the entire Bible when he was in the belly of the fish. I don't know about you, but I'm sort of like that, too. I think if everything went well and I depended on God, if I could be rich and depend on God, if my car never broke and I depended on God, if when I sinned, I went quickly to God and my brothers and I confessed, if everything was perfect in my family and I depended on God, if every sermon I ever preached was wonderful and I depended on God, if Key Life had lots of money and I depended on God, all of those things would happen. Trouble is, I don't do that. I got my own stomach of the fish going here, and I do better with God, I think, and I hate it. I do better with God in the stomach of the fish. I mean, when I'm scared, you ought to hear me pray. I mean, my prayers are so godly, and I repent so good when I'm scared. When I'm on the verge of being caught, I want you to know I repent big time. When things aren't going well with me, and I get scared about this ministry, that it's going to go down, or that I'm going to lose my job at the seminary, or nobody will ever want to hear me teach the Bible again, then I pray. Well, we're like Jonah. Jonah repents, but he doesn't repent until he's in the stomach of a fish. Are you in a stomach of a fish now? Don't you hate it? I just hate it. But let me tell you something. Praise God for it. Because stomachs of fishes are given to Christians so that we might run with Jesus and laugh and dance and be free and worship Him from our hearts. If we could do it some other place, we probably would. And then in Jonah 3:1-10, the power of God's message delivered at God's command. As you begin to move into that third chapter, you see, and I'm not going to take the time to read it, you see Jonah preaching perhaps the shortest sermon in the history of God's covenant people. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's 8 words. Now that is not the kind of sermon. If Jonah were in my homiletics class at the seminary, where he would get an A. 8 words, I would say you didn't prepare. 8 words, that's not enough. You haven't explained yourself. You haven't exegeted the text properly. There are not 3 points on a poem. Jonah, you can do better than that. But he had God's truth, and all it took was 8 words. You going to repent, or you going to be in trouble? I think I've told you a number of times about my friend Ron Miner. When he was in Cambridge, and he went to a group of liberal ministers who thought he was obscurantist and fundamentalist, and really weird, but somehow he got an opportunity to speak for these liberal ministers. And he got up and he said, I just want you to know, God's going to do something in Cambridge. It's beginning now. If you want to do traffic with God, you ought to get on board. If you don't, I'm not your mother. And he sat down, and it was a powerful message. You know why it was powerful? Because God gave Ron Miner the message. I'll tell you something. When you've got it from God, you don't have to yell it. You don't have to beat the drum with it. You don't have to get a crowd by doing silly things. You just got to speak the truth. And once you speak the truth and it's spoken, you're not responsible for the truth anymore. One of the shortest sermons in the history of God's people. And look at the results, the repentance of a nation. You know, sometimes we are so angry that you'd think we didn't believe the truth that we spoke. We shout so much that you would think that we were uncertain about the truth that we spoke. We have to be so arrogant and so self-righteous, because if we weren't, people wouldn't think we spoke the truth. The truth is the truth. And if you've got the truth, just simply speak it. That's all you got to do. Now I want to show you something else about that chapter. I want you to look at those verses and see a number of things about them. First, people may be more willing to hear God's truth than we suspect they are willing to hear God's truth. Have you got somebody in your acquaintance and you've thought to yourself, I'm not going to tell them because they don't want to hear? I mean, they got tattoos, they ride a motorcycle. This is not your prime fertile ground for growing Christians. So if it's okay with you, I don't think I'm going to tell them. I'll tell you, if you tell them, you'd be surprised how open people are. Did I tell you last week that I had done a thing over at the University of Central Florida here? Some Christian students on the campus have started something they called Open Forum. And they asked me to talk about why Christians are such a pain. And I did. Then opened the floor for questions. It was an easy subject, mainly because I'm an expert. But I was honest, and I told them I didn't have to defend Jesus. But I said a lot of things about us and why we are that way. And you know what I found out? I found out something that Mr. Graham has said for years and years and years, that the students on campuses across America don't have any problem with Jesus. They have a problem with us. And if we can just speak about him, be kind and compassionate and vulnerable, you would be amazed at the number of people who would want to hear what you said. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have our Christmas Meditations booklet, I'd love to send it to you. Now, this is a devotional booklet to help you get through the Christmas season without becoming a Scrooge. There are devotional questions, there's scripture included. You're going to like this, and it'll be helpful. And it's free. All you got to do is let me know. It's called the Christmas Meditations booklet. By the way, we have this on CD, and if you'll ask, we'll tell you how you can get that, too. You can get it by the booklet free by calling 1-800-KEY-LIFE. Or you can write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Key Life Canada Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. And listen, if you could help us, if you could help us financially, I sure would appreciate it. In fact, I'll send you the Christmas Meditation CD for any contribution of any size when you ask for it. Or, if you would prefer, Grace, the Heart of the Incarnation, a single cassette teaching. But listen, pray about it. I so much need your help. This is a very expensive ministry, and I promise we'll be faithful with your gift. You can charge it on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. And when you write or call, give us the call letters of this station. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.